Radio Iowa's Monday podcast for March 19th. I'm Stella Schaffer. The USDA's Rural Development Office in Iowa will raise the roof, or the mortgage limit at least, on its direct loan program to low-income rural Iowans. Iowa Director Mark Reisinger says the reason's simple. Houses cost more.
In some areas of our state, over just the last fiscal year, we've seen a 25% increase in the cost of a relatively modest homes. And those homes are generally used by people of limited income who we want to assist. So we had to adjust our rates to better serve our constituency.
Reisinger says the program targets certain areas of the state.
These homes are going to be found in communities of 20,000 people or less. They can be new construction or they can be existing construction. We have specific construction standards that the homes must meet, but we're very flexible when it comes to what type of home, as long as it falls in that price range.
The direct lending program offers percent mortgage loans at an interest rate of 5.875% right now. He says a private sector loan for a family with a similar financial profile would run 6.5 to 6.75%.
Also, we don't have any front-end fees, and all fees can be rolled into the total mortgage. In addition, if that doesn't meet the needs of a specific situation, we can also what we call buy down the interest rate.
He says last year they helped some 1,300 families become homeowners through the direct loan program. There's a phone number and a web link when you read this story in our archives at radioiowa.com. A new immigration court will be created to help handle cases from Iowa. Right now, there are 54 immigration courts in 25 states, but the closest to Iowa are in Chicago and Bloomington, Minnesota. Right now, cases are often handled by teleconference with a judge in Chicago. They're building three new immigration courts, one in Omaha. Department of Justice spokesman Charles Miller says the location of the courts reflects the level of caseloads.
The closest immigration courts to Omaha are Chicago and Denver, and needless to say, there are a sufficient number from the general Omaha area in the Midwest where people are having to either go to Chicago or Denver, and there are enough of those cases that a court is warranted in your area.
The other two new ones will be in Kansas City and Charlotte, North Carolina. The Justice Department says about 80% of the cases involve deportations, so they also handle employment cases, reviews of U.S. residency, and requests for asylum. The department estimates about 85,000 illegal immigrants are living in Iowa today. The mayor of West Okoboji was badly hurt when a school bus he was driving was involved in a weekend crash. Wayne Benson reports.
A school bus with a pickup collision occurred on Saturday at the intersections of County Roads A34 and M27 near Milford. Two people were injured in that mishap. A 1995 Ford F-150 pulling a trailer driven by Tyler Tessis of Everly collided with a school bus driven by Howard Titterington of Milford. Both drivers transported to the Spencer Hospital, Tessum by private vehicle with minor injuries, Titterington transported by ambulance with more serious injuries. The accident is under investigation and charges are pending. For Radio Iowa, in Spencer, I'm Wayne Benson reporting.
A state senator is calling for a boycott of Iowa investments in the African nation of Sudan. Senator Mike Connolly, a Democrat from Dubuque, is sponsoring legislation that would require state requirement funds to get rid of any investment in businesses with a connection to Sudan within 3 years.
200,000 people dead and 2.5 million people displaced. It's like the state of Iowa almost. Every man, woman, and child in Iowa, we have about 3 million people. But just think of that.
Connolly says money talks, and when businesses threaten to pull their investments out, that has a way of changing things, as it did once before.
And I think it's generally thought today that the actions by the 50 states were a significant factor in the doing away with apartheid in South Africa. So this legislation is designed to go down the same path.
Connolly says up to 20 other states are considering similar legislation. His bill passed a Senate committee. It's now awaiting debate in the full Senate. Trial began today for a tree farmer charged with shooting deer out of season. Kevin Kelly says he called the DNR to say he'd done it and makes no secret. He was protecting his property, he says. Deer eat up his livelihood. The agency says he can't just disregard legal hunting seasons and says he had other options. The investigation's now complete into a fire last week that destroyed a senior assisted living complex just as it was about to open in Waterloo. Elwin Huffman reports.
Officials looking into the cause have concluded the blaze was set, but not necessarily on purpose. Last Wednesday, fire leveled the Rose of Waterloo, a 64-unit, three-story building that was scheduled to open later this year. Local officials asked federal authorities for help in finding the cause because of the large amount of damage done. A national response team from the U.S. Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives was called to the scene, and federal investigators finished their search of the site over the weekend. They determined that a person or people started the fire, but the intent isn't known. They stopped short of labeling the cause arson because the fire may have been an accident, possibly started by a homeless person to keep warm. The fire caused more than $8 million in damage. A $15,000 reward is being offered for information that leads to an arrest and conviction in the case. I'm Elwin Huffman, Radio Iowa, Waterloo.
Rich Leopold, new director of the Iowa Department of Natural Resources, says he's following and giving input on some bills, including livestock regulations and where production facilities are to be built.
The ones that exist now are the combination of probably about a dozen of them at the beginning of session. So this is a process where as the bills change, as you go through the different committees, as there's amendments proposed, as different groups weigh in, we're the agency that is trying to give them the full scenario. So if you pass this bill, this is what we think it might do. So trying to look objectively at the science and the policy involved in following their legislative intent.
Another bill before state lawmakers would split the DNR into two agencies. One part would keep up its duties, including wildlife conservation, fishing and hunting licenses, keeping up trails, tracking bird flu, monitoring swimming beaches, doing fuel price and air quality monitoring. Another, the split-off division, would take over the controversial job of making and enforcing rules for livestock operations and the manure that they produce. A small protest this afternoon in Des Moines on the fourth anniversary of the start of U.S. military involvement in Iraq. Brenda Hervey came from Sioux City and told about her son, a soldier wounded in combat.
Michael was a victim of stop loss. He should have been out of the Army in October. That was the end of his service, initial active duty commitment, but he was extended. And as it went, 4 weeks after he should have been out of the Army, he was injured.
4 years after the start of the war, Hervey says it's time to end it. This week marks the fourth anniversary of the U.S. invasion of Iraq, and more peace rallies and vigils are planned in towns around the state. A dozen Quad Cities area artists are working with groups of students from 12 area high schools to create large sculptures out of junk that's been hauled out of the Mississippi River. Sculptor Bill Wolford, the project organizer, is working with students from Pleasant Valley High School on a sculpture.
Mine will be made out of automobile wheels and grocery carts. Another one that's going to be really spectacular is made out of bicycles. There'll be one made out of refrigerator doors. There'll be several, I think, that will include driftwood, the kinds of wood that you might find floating down the river.
The project, called the Mississippi Palette, will launch on Friday with an appearance by nationally known environmentalist Chad Pragracki. The sculptures are scheduled to be done by the end of May, and they'll be put on permanent display around the Quad Cities. A show on stage in central Iowa that's part stand-up comedy, part theater, aims to answer the age-old question, what do women want? Radio Iowa's Matt Kelly reports.
Robert Duback is both the author and star of The Male Intellect, an oxymoron. Duback plays multiple roles in the one-man show, representing the many alter egos of men who each have a take on what the fairer sex is seeking.
One of the characters, who's the colonel, he comes from the Deep South and used to be in the military quite a bit, and I understand what women want is honesty. Honesty is the most important thing to a woman. Unless it's the truth about her, then it's not so very important.
Duback's been married more than a dozen years and says he did write the show, but his wife had to explain it to him. He is scheduled to be at the Civic Center's Temple Theater in Des Moines through April. Radio Iowa, I'm Matt Kelly.
That's a Monday mini-pod. We'll do another day at a time tomorrow. Let us know which you prefer, a day-by-day podcast of news or the whole week in review. You can email sschaffer@learfield.com. I'm Stella Schaffer.